I receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus. I receive the prayer of your people in the name. I pray in the name of Jesus. Not my will, but thy will be done. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at your neighbor, look him right in the eye and say, it ain't over. God's not through with you yet. It ain't over. I'm not talking about this service. I'm talking about your life. It ain't over. I'm talking about your destiny and your ministry. It ain't over yet. If I was at home, I'd tell somebody, look at him and say, it ain't over, baby. It's not over yet. God's not finished with me yet. I need somebody to shout about the yet. Hallelujah to God. Just remain standing. There is such a spirit of deliverance in the house tonight. There is such a spirit of redemption and restoration. And I was studying on redemption before I come out here. And it's amazing how that Jesus, there's an old song that said, Jesus paid it all. When you redeem something, you use something, it has purchasing power. And the Lamb of God had purchasing power, and he redeemed me from sin and death and disease. And who am I to walk in sin and disease when Jesus has already paid to get it off of me and break it off of me and set me free? I give God praise. I thank the Lord. Where's the young lady that God has already delivered tonight? So wonderful. Where you at, girl? Look back there. Now, amen. Amen. That's so awesome. Now, I'm just going to brag on you. Remain standing. And I ask you that for a reason, girl, not just embarrass you. I'm going to do something for you in a minute. But I was thinking earlier, Brother Freeman, thank you. You've done a great job. I want everybody to know he's done a tremendous job. Amen. Took such good care of us. And we do miss Bishop Sutton and his wonderful wife. And I hope they're having cappuccino and cannoli and all that kind of good stuff. I feel like a cannoli myself. I forgot I had somebody back here who could fix me up. But they are enjoying themselves, and it's been so good to be back with this wonderful church. But the greatest compliment to him and his leadership is I've preached here. I think this is maybe my fourth time to stop by here on a weekend in the last year, 15 months or so. And the greatest compliment to his leadership, there are as many people here tonight. The worship has been just as exuberant or more so. People, a lady received the Holy Ghost and was baptized before we ever started. Today, two people were water baptized in Jesus' name. The music has continued without hitch. The worship, the praise team, the mind team ministered to you. That's the new word. They ministered. They ministered in the Holy Ghost. And the greatest compliment to leadership is that it continues without the leader being here. And you need to give yourself a hand and give your pastor a hand. Praise the Lord. And I do want to say it's been a joy today. And my heart just almost fell out while I go watching my kids running and praising. Alistair's only four. He took his sweater off. I think that little buddy's about wore off. The last lap he took, he had this determined look like on, I will make it. I will make it. I will make it. And that's wonderful. That's my youngest. Elena is my middle one. Step on out, Elena, so everybody can see. This is my seven-year-old going on 13. Amen. And then you already know Alexander, my sales manager and personal bodyguard over here on the second row. And girls, he's really not 15, so back off. I had to back off a 14-year-old in Vidor, Texas, was hitting on him at the sales table. And I walked back. She looked at me and said, you're the most awesomest preacher in the world. I was like, shut up, baby. I know what you're trying to get. But anyway. But girl, I had you stand up while ago tonight. I didn't bring in my wife's books or anything because we've been here before. And I'd already brought them and we're packed up for conference. Pray for us. We're leaving tonight after service, driving to Washington, D.C., and we're going to drive all night because if you ever have had children, you would understand that driving at night when they're asleep is better than driving in the daytime. I'd rather drink a lot of coffee. It does work. So We're going to do that tonight. We're going up. We're going to Pennsylvania for a couple of days, going to D.C., going to our conference. But my wife's written some books. Went ahead and got them out of the top. Alexander got them. They're back there. Put some more series back there, our warfare series. But my wife wrote two great books. I wrote a little booklet. Girl, get up here. I want to sow these into your life. They'll help you live for God. And don't ever say nobody didn't love you. Just go ahead and give it to her right there. Thank you so much. That'll help you. And that little booklet there I wrote is called Dominion Pray, and it'll teach you how to beat up the devil. When you're by yourself, it'll teach you how just to give the devil a black eye. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles tonight and would go with me to the book of Hebrews and then the book of Romans, the book of Philippians, that's all in the New Testament. So you can just kind of go toward the back of your Bible and you'll find out where we're headed. We're headed to Hebrews chapter 11, Romans chapter 8, and Philippians chapter 1. I have been praying today and been very sensitive. I came to the church a little early trying to follow the flow of the Spirit, because when you've been preaching over 20 years, and Brother Freeman, I hate to tell you, you're older than a lot of people in this room, and I hate to tell that to you, but I just felt encouraged in the Lord. But he just had his 40th birthday, and Elder Freeman is, not yet. When is it? Next month. But we want to encourage him. Oh, he's 39 and holding just for about a month. But we want to encourage him in the Lord, because the elders get a little old there, but we appreciate him. But when you've been preaching, as long as I've been preaching, I tell people, I know I look young, and you're supposed to say amen when I say that. I know I look very young, but I've been preaching this February. It was 23 years. And when I say preaching, I don't mean every 6 or 7 weeks. I mean preaching since I was 14, basically every week, sometimes every night of the week. When you've been preaching that long, it is not having something to preach. Because you can always go back and find something people have not heard you preach, and you can dig out an oldie and preach it. It's not having something to say. It's saying what God wants you to say. And it's saying it with the anointing to help somebody. Now, I'm not really worried about preaching pretty tonight. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not here to preach pretty or make you walk out and say, boy, what a thought. But I really would like to help somebody. And I am going to preach on what I walked up here saying, because usually that's what I end up doing. It ain't over yet. And I just want somebody to understand that God is not finished with you. And what I'm going to preach tonight is, it's not over till God says it's over. It's not over till God says, I need somebody to hear, your marriage is not over till God says it's over. Your career is not over. They can fire you and God will still pay you. Oh, you're not hearing me. The doctor can say you've got cancer and you live 40 years on the grace of God, because it ain't over. If God's not through with you yet, it's not over. Hebrews 11 and 3, through faith, say through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Then Romans 8 and 28, quote it with me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, particularly the called according to his purpose. God does good for you if you're called to his purpose. It just doesn't say that God's good to everybody. He is good to you according to your purpose. If you are involved in your purpose, somebody here needs to find out what God's called you for. You need to find out what your purpose and destiny is in God. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, this ought to make somebody get happy, that he which hath begun a good work in you, say started it, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, will complete it, will finish it, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's not over till God says it's over. Father, I pray that tonight you would let the spirit of favor come in this room. Let us step beyond tradition and religion. Let us step beyond entertainment culture and somehow allow your word to be as it was ordained, as a two-edged sword, to begin to cut through every barrier that would hinder deliverance from somebody's soul, and let somebody become free and new in Jesus' name. Clap your hands and give God praise. just clap your hands. Oh, we need to thank God for what he did this morning. We need to thank for God for that lady that was delivered this morning. We need to thank God for what he's already done tonight. We need to thank the Lord for healing and deliverance. Am I preaching to anybody that he's already saved you? He's already delivered you. He's already brought you out. Can be seated. The first thing that you need to understand is that we need to get the world mentality out of the church. When you come to church and read the scripture, number one, you need to quit reading the scripture as an American. And number two, you need to quit reading the scripture as somebody that was in the world, because now you've come out from the world and you have to read the scripture from a spiritual perceptive and not a carnal conception. Oh, you don't understand me. Because carnality and spirituality cannot, the Bible said, what concord, what agreement hath Christ with Belial? You cannot walk with the devil and live with Jesus at the same time. So when you become born again, you have to not only become a new creature, but you have to get a new mentality. You have to learn how to think different. That's why the Bible said to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You have to learn to open the Bible with a regenerated, say regenerated mind, so you can understand things from a regenerated mind. That's why I can preach tonight, and those of you that have not been regenerated, those of you that are not filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll look at me and say, what's that fat joker up there doing? But then the person beside you will start shaking, ha ha, and you say, what's going on with them? Because their spirit man has understanding and revelation. Their spirit man understands that the word is seed, and when the seed of the word is put into the womb of the spirit, there is an impregnation that will bring forth fruit, and a miracle could happen. See, there's people in this room that know how to work with a preacher, and they understand that why I'm preaching right now, that a miracle could happen if they could get the word. There are people in this room that have been around church enough that they have understand that I am not trying to entertain anybody with the pontificatory remarks of my words, that I am not simply here to think deep and prolific or present you an exegesis on theoretical concepts or theories, but that I am here tonight to preach the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and when the word created, say the word creates. And if I could ever understand that when a preacher is preaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, things that do not exist in my life can become created by the word of God. God could create a job for you right now. God could create a husband for you right now. God could take that cancer out of your body right now. God could remove that growth from your brain right now. God could deliver you from the spirit of suicide right now. God could loose you right now. Because somebody say, the creative energy of the word. Faith comes by hearing. I said that last night. Hearing by a rhema, a personal creative word in your spirit. Say, I need a word. That's why preaching is so important. That's why people that are not Christian and that are not spirit-filled, they do not understand what I'm doing up here right now. They cannot understand that I can be sitting in a chair by myself. And I just did it this afternoon. I'm about to run the aisles. I downloaded an MP3 last night from one of my favorite preachers, just preached, Tudor Bismarck, just preached in Atlanta last week. He's from Africa. He pastors in Zimbabwe. I just downloaded his sermon. I put it on in the office. I had to lock the door and act half crazy, because as he began to preach the word, it began to do something in my spirit. It began to create things and break things. Can I tell somebody tonight, if you will listen to what God wants to say in here, God's going to deliver you tonight. He's going to free you tonight. He will loose you tonight. If you believe it, clap your hands unto the Lord. Huh? Bless his name. Now, in I said all that to say this. We have an American mentality. We have a religious mentality, and we have a secular mentality. There is a secular world mentality. There's also a secular church mentality. There are some of you that you got saved according to the New Testament, but you still have the church culture of the denomination you come out of. Many of us get the new birth, and we just become born again whatevers we used to be. But when you come into the church, not only do you need to be born again in the spirit, you've got to be born again in your concept. Your order of church government changes. Your order of tradition changes. How you worship changes. How you give changes. How you receive. Oh, you're not hearing me in here. You have to come out. You have to change everything. There has to be a change in your philosophy. Your paradigms and your concepts have to begin to change. Now, I said all that to explain this to you. Are there any sports fans in here? Believe it or not, I know we could preach against sports all we want to. And some of you are afraid to raise your hands because we preachers get up. Oh, quit lying to me. How many sports fans are out there? Does anybody here like to play baseball? There is a rule in baseball, and the rule says three strikes and you're out unless your daddy is the one pitching. You didn't get it right there. The Bible said that my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. See, you may not understand it, but God is my father. He is not my coach. He is not my judge, but he is my father. He is not looking to strike me out. He is looking to bring me home. I come to preach to somebody, three strikes and you're not out, because the father that's pitching to you is not trying to get you to hell. He's trying to get you to heaven. Ha, ha. And I feel like preaching. That spirit has entered into the church to where preachers and saints and some self-righteous Sally better than yous will look down their nose and say, oh, three strikes. You backslid. You messed up. You made a mistake. You don't even need to come back to our church because we're holy. Oh, you better get over yourself. There's none holy. No, not one. But his grace is sufficient. Sufficient for me. Rejoice not against me, oh mine enemy, because when I fall, I shall arise. Who am I preaching to in here tonight? That three strikes, you're not out, but I'm ready to come on home. See, the difference between a daddy and an umpire is the umpire's playing by the rules, but a daddy can make up his own rules because it's his yard and it's his ball. My dad used to tell me all the time, it's my ball, Bubba, and if you don't like it, I'll take the ball and go inside. But as long as it's my ball, we're gonna play by my rules. I wish I could tell somebody that the God you serve wrote the rule book. He wrote the rules, and I've come to preach to somebody, it ain't over yet. God's not finished with you yet. If you woke up this morning in your own vomit, it ain't over yet. If you woke up with a note saying, I'm never coming back, it ain't over yet. If you woke up and your kids are in jail, it ain't over yet. If you woke up and the doctor said you got cancer, it ain't over yet, because I'm still here and God's not through with me yet. If I'm still here, God's not through with me yet. Three strikes and you're not out. Am I preaching to somebody? You've struck out a lot of times. You've tried over and over, and it seems like the more you try, the more you fail. The more you endeavor, the more you seem to mess up. You're the person I'm preaching to tonight. You ought to begin to shout unto God, because I'm not out yet. It's not over yet. God's not finished with me yet. Clap your hands and give her. The Bible said that the worlds were framed. Say, the worlds were framed by the word of God. Many of you do not understand. You honestly do not understand. That's why I love to study and get into the Greek and some of this kind of stuff. Because the word world there is not cosmos, but it is eons. Cosmos would mean the planetary system and the terra firma of the earth that we stand on. But eons means the dispensations or the timing. What he is saying is that your time has been framed in by the word of God. That means that God has got your life in a frame, and God has got everything worked out. That's why I've come to preach to somebody that if everything has gone wrong up to now, don't you leave here depressed and suicidal. You need to begin to thank God that a change is coming. You need to thank God that you've lived through the worst of it, because things always get worse right before they get better. And am I preaching to anybody that says, preacher, it can't get any worse? You ought to shout up in here. It can't get... my money can't get any worse. Shout. My family can't get any worse. Praise him. My body can't get any sicker. Praise him. Because if it can't get any worse, it's about to get better. Who am I preaching to up in here tonight? That if you've made it this far, your life has been framed. Your eons have been framed by the word of God. He knows you're going in and you're coming out. You're rising up and you're downsetting. He knows everything about you, and he's framed it in by his word. So nothing is happening in your life that is not within the boundaries of God's word. And God's word always causes creation. So if something is happening in your life, it is hedged in by creative word, which means whatever is happening is causing something to happen in you. Whatever you're living through is causing creation. I need to preach up in here. Whatever is happening to you, whatever life is handing you, is creating something in you. It is creating purpose in you. It is creating deliverance in you. Whoop. Look at your neighbor and say, did you get it? It ain't over yet. I said, if God's word has hedged you in, and his word is creative energy, then when his word causes something to happen, no matter how bad it is, God's working it out for my good. No matter how bad it is, no matter how low I am, some of you need to understand, the deeper the valley, the higher the mountaintop. Some of you haven't figured that out yet. You haven't figured out the deeper the pit, the higher the palace. Somebody say, God's not finished with me yet. It ain't over, baby. It ain't over. Who am I preaching to? Life has never been this bad to you. You've never been in a circumstance like this. You've never had trouble like this. You've never had a trial like this. You've never had a sickness like this. It ain't over, baby. Ooh, I feel like preaching. The Bible said where two or three agree touching any one thing in my name, that's what Jesus said, it shall be done. I figured out a few weeks ago that me and God equal two. And that if I can find out what God's saying about me, and I can agree with God where two or three agree, I'm tired of listening to what everybody else is saying about me. I need to preach to somebody. If the world is calling you a failure, if the world's calling you dumb, plump, and unemployed, if the world's calling you sick and suicidal and half crazy, if the world's calling you an alcoholic, a druggie, a nobody, or homeless, you ought to step out in the aisle and begin to agree with God, because God says that you are more than a conqueror. God says that now we are the sons of God. He says you're a son. He says you're a conqueror. God's word said that now we are more than conquerors. Somebody's not hearing me. You got to learn how to agree with God. When the angel of the Lord found Gideon, Gideon was hiding for his life. Gideon said, I'm the least of everything. You're going to kill us all. I'm just going to hide. And the angel of the Lord walked up and said, thou mighty man of valor. Hey, big daddy, what's up? God sent me here to tell you that you're a mighty man of valor. Gideon said, I don't understand. I'm from the smallest tribe. I'm the youngest in my father's household. But you got to start looking at yourself through the eyes of God. How is God looking at you? See, the world sees somebody that's never been anything, but God sees somebody that had to go through what you've gone through to become who you're becoming. Oh, you're not hearing me. If you had never hurt the way you've hurt, if you had never cried the way you've cried, if you had never felt pain to feel the pain that you felt, because the more capacity for pain you have, the more capacity for anointing you have, the more capacity for hurt you have, the more capacity for anointing you have. Am I preaching to somebody that says, why have I had to hurt so much? Why have I had to feel so much pain? Why has my life been like hell? Raise your hands to heaven. Father, I release revelation. I release revelation and wisdom. Somebody is hearing a word right now. Raise your hands. Somebody is hearing a word right now. It ain't over. Brother, it ain't over yet. It's not over till God says it's over. Three strikes and you're not out because daddy is pitching the ball. Three strikes and you're not out because our father is pitching the ball. He's trying to bring somebody home tonight. He's trying to deliver somebody tonight. He's trying to set somebody free tonight. Whew. Can I preach just a few minutes? They called her a failure. She was so accustomed to what she was going to have to go through. She had changed her name from Naomi to Mara. And Mara means bitterness. Because when Naomi left the house of God and followed her husband, some of you in here, what you're going through wasn't even your fault. You were just joined to the wrong people, raised by the wrong family, found God so late in life that you didn't even have the financial or people or emotional skills. And now that you got saved at 40 and 50 years old, and now that your kids are half grown before you found Jesus, as your life is a wreck, and you say, I'm miserable, and I'm telling you, because I can shout and talk in tongues, but I still live in hell. I come to tell you right now that even if you've messed up because of who you were connected with, it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. My God, I need to preach up in here. Who am I? I want all the new converts to, I want all the young people maybe just to sit down. I want to preach to some people that your life was already half messed up when you got saved. You already had kids when you got saved. You were working a job when you got saved. Stand up and look at me. You already were an adult when you got saved. You already had concepts and ideas when you got saved. So not only does God save you, but you bring in all this baggage. You bring in all these memories. You bring in all this hurt. You bring in the abusive father. You bring in the drunk uncle. You bring in the prostitute mama. You bring in the years of false doctrine from a church that didn't even know God. If he walked in on Sunday, you bring all that in here with you, and then the devil wants to tell you, because you have not found deliverance until your latter years, that God can't use you. The devil is a lie. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I come to preach to somebody. I got a tiger by the tail, Pastor. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm preaching to somebody. It may not be everybody, but I am going to preach to somebody, because it ain't over yet. She changed her name to Mara. Mara means bitterness. She said, I'm just going to sit over here and have myself a pity party. In the middle of her pity party, her husband dies. If that's not enough, her two sons die. And instead of leaving her with plenty, all they leave her is with two broke, hungry daughter-in-laws. And she comes to herself and said, I've already lost everything. I might as well go back to God's house, because I can't lose anything. Anything more. I would rather go in God's house and them reject me than to stay out here and starve in a foreign land. Am I preaching to anybody that said, I'd rather be a nobody in the house of God than to be a somebody out there? I would rather be a nobody and be saved. You're not hearing me. If I never sing in the choir, if I never teach a Sunday school class, if I never do anything, I'd just rather come in here and know that I've been redeemed and that the blood has washed me and that I've been sanctified. High five somebody and tell them it ain't over. But I'm fixing to tell you what happened when she got ready. Oh Lord, when she got ready to go back to where she come from, she knew the journey back to Jerusalem. She knew the journey back to Israel. She knew the journey back to where she come from. When she got ready to come back, I don't even want to get into the theology for what if this and what if that. I don't know what would have happened if she would have stayed where she was, but she didn't. She went out and followed her husband. Her husband died, and her son had married somebody by the name of Ruth. I'm going to preach to somebody that even though she messed up, when she got ready to go home, destiny stood up and said, I'm going with you. I come to tell somebody what happens when destiny follows you home. What happened if all your life has messed you up so bad, but now destiny has got his finger and is thumping on you, saying, I know you made a mistake. I know you're a nobody going nowhere. I know you've been broke, busted, and disgusted, but if you'll go in the right direction, destiny's about to follow you. Destiny is about to walk up behind you. The other daughter-in-law said, I can't go. Naomi said, kiss her goodbye. Some things you just gotta kiss goodbye. Am I preaching to anybody? Some things you just gotta kiss goodbye. I can't call you, love you, bye-bye. I'm not gonna talk to you. I'm not gonna think about you. There's some things in your past you gotta let go. Wave at them, somebody. You ought to turn around and wave at them. There are some things you can't hold on to. I refuse to hold on to a mentality that I was told by somebody that abused me, that I'll never be good, that I'm dumb and stupid and ignorant. The devil is a liar. Bye bye. Bye bye. I refuse to believe that I gotta die broke, honey. My father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The God I serve is Jehovah Jireh. He's the God of more than enough. Bye bye, poverty. Bye bye, poverty. Bye. You're not hearing me in here. Bye bye, poverty. Bye bye. I refuse to believe that I have to be a failure. Bye bye, failure. Bye bye, failure. Bye bye, failure. Bye bye, backsliding. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. I refuse to believe that I have to continue the same destructive cycle as my family. I refuse to believe that just because my grandpa was abusive and my daddy was abusive, that I have to be abusive. But I'm stepping out of the generational curse. I'm breaking the cycle of failure. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I'm breaking the cycle. I wish somebody wave goodbye. You need to wave. I don't care how much you've messed up. If you choose today, you can wave goodbye. Bye-bye, baby. Bye-bye, baby. Bye-bye, backsliding. Bye-bye, fear. Bye-bye, fear. Bye-bye, insecurity. Bye-bye, torment. Bye-bye, depression. Bye-bye, loneliness. Bye-bye, addiction. Bye-bye, confusion. Who am I preaching to in here? She not only had to get ready to go back, she had to be willing to tell something goodbye. Oh Lord, but if you're willing to come home and kiss some things goodbye, then it ain't over yet. Because Ruth said, where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I lodge. You're not kin to me. You're a Moabite. You're not even the same color. You don't even worship the same God. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Because I'm going to follow you home. Now, I don't want to get into a debate with you. I know that Naomi should have never messed up. But when she did mess up, she bumped into the great-great-grandmother of Jesus. Oh, you're not hearing me. When she did mess up, when destiny followed her home, God reached out of perfection and reached over into Moab and pulled in somebody that nobody had ever heard of. I come to tell somebody, if you come to church tonight with nothing but your shame and your fear and the devil beating up on you, I want you to look around because destiny might be standing behind you. Hey! Destiny. Destiny might be walking. Your deliverance might be a testimony that's going to turn this city upside down. What God has done for you might be the key to deliverance to this church and this community. Destiny is following you home. High five somebody and say, it ain't over, baby. It ain't over, baby. It ain't over till God says it's over. Give God praise. Lord, I feel the Lord in here. Let's pray a little deeper. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Bless the name. Holy Ghost. I bless your name. It ain't over. I'm telling somebody, it ain't over. God's not through with you. I don't care who you are, where you are, where you've been. It ain't over yet. Destiny followed her home. God joined Destiny to Boaz. And when they got together, when Destiny got together with purpose, Lord, I wish I could preach with this in here. When Destiny linked up with purpose, there was a seed, and the seed become about two generations down, become the father of Jesse. Jesse become the father of David. David, through the David's loins, he become the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Ruth and Boaz were the great, 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 great grandparents of Jesus. But it didn't happen until a woman messed up. But she messed up and decided, I want to go home. It's not the mess up I'm preaching about. It's trying to tell somebody it ain't over yet. God is not through. Oh, I wish I could preach to somebody in here. They named him Jacob. Jacob means supplanter. Every time people look at Jacob and called him by name, they were calling him a liar and a supplanter. They were literally ridiculing him when they called him by name. But yet God saw Israel. What the world saw as a supplanter, God saw as a father of a mighty nation. Who am I preaching to in here? That all you've ever heard about you is you'll never be nothing and nobody, go nowhere. God can't use you. Who said you could preach? Your daddy's not a preacher. Your grandpa's a nobody. Who told you you could be saved? You'll never, oh, you're in one day, out the next. You come to church and shout and live like the devil the rest of the week. I'm preaching to somebody that needs to stand up and say, it's over. That's settled right now. It's a day of the Mosiah. Devil, I'm tired of hearing that. I break the cycle of failure. I break the cycle of addiction today. Every eye closed. Take your neighbor by the hand and begin to pray. Musicians, come. The Spirit of the Lord just stepped in this room. The Spirit of the Lord is in this room. I could go on and on and on and on and on scripturally to tell you about people that thought it was over. What about Samson? Samson had his eyes gouged out and it should have been over, but it ain't over yet, baby. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown in a fiery furnace, bound hand and foot, but it ain't over till God says it's over? What about Daniel, thrown into the lion's den, but it ain't over yet? Hey, who am I preaching to that things look impossible? But lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Tears are flowing right now. Tears are flowing right now. Hands raised all over this auditorium. If you can stand, I would invite you to stand. If you can stand, I would ask you to stand. I would ask you to raise holy hands. Or even if they're frail, nicotine scarred, drug trembling hands, I'd ask you to raise them to heaven, because his grace is sufficient for you and it ain't over yet. If I have ever felt deliverance, I feel deliverance in this room. If I have ever felt deliverance, I feel deliverance in this room. Hallelujah. If I've ever felt hope, would you just reach out over the pews and over the aisles, ladies to ladies, men to men. Take somebody by the hand and raise those hands to heaven. Let there be an unbroken cord in here where two or three are touching any one thing in my name. You need to agree with God, who God says you are. He has framed you in. He has framed in the eons of your life. He has framed in the times and dispensations and seasons of your life. He has framed in. That's it. Pray right now. God has framed in the times and seasons and eons. It's not over till God says it's over. It ain't over, somebody. It ain't over. Who are thee called? Who are thee called according to his purpose? Just eyes closed. The purpose of God is resonant upon the shoulders of men and women, boys and girls in this sanctuary right now. The purpose of God. To be worshipers and to be soul winners, primarily, before anything else. We are created to worship him in spirit and in truth. Worshippers and soul winners. And then beyond that, there are mothers in this room that God has caused you to raise up prophets and apostles and evangelists and teachers and pastors. There are fathers in this room. God has put a purpose to give you the ability to make money where you could pour it into the kingdom of God, and where things that are impossible could become possible because money answereth all things. So the spirit of poverty has haunted you, but the devil is a liar. See, I'm preaching to somebody even here right now. It ain't over yet. The person that balanced your checkbook last night and it's minus something, you need to shout right now because it ain't over yet. The purpose, the person in this room, shaka. The person in this room that goes home and cries yourself to sleep at night because you're lonely and feel like nobody understands you, it ain't over yet. Hands raised to heaven, hands raised to heaven. Seems to me that the Spirit of the Lord's been trying to speak to people the last couple of days around here. Let's don't give an altar call just yet. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. It ain't over yet. That just don't stop. But Brother Super, I've tried and I've messed up. I've tried and I've made mistakes. Be sensitive. Be sensitive. Destiny may be following you home. I'm going to do something I don't know if I've ever done. I want to ask people just to back up. I want you to be sensitive. Only the people that have ever backslidden. When I say backslidden, I'm talking about completely left the church and just quit for a season. Whether it was a bitterness, an addiction, a failure, a hurt, a wound, something enticed you away from God, I want you to come stand across this front. God's about to break a spirit of failure off of you. A cycle of failing. My God, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. They're coming like crazy. Get up here right now. Get yourself up here. Get yourself up here in the Holy Ghost. It ain't over yet. God is not through with you. Hallelujah. Look at this, Brother Fred. There's some more of you. You need to be honest with God. You need to be honest with God. You have failed. You have intentionally, whether it was wounded or hurt or addiction or enticement, whatever caused you to be pulled out of the grip of grace, you found yourself. And here you are. Come on, here they come. Dear God, here they come. 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 Before I open this altar call for people to find deliverance and to find hope fresh, I'm going to rebuke the spirit of failure off the people that are standing up here right now. It won't be everybody, but there's a few of you up here, maybe many of you up here, that it's hard for you to be used of God because the enemy brings up your messing up and your failure and the memories. But what would happen if destiny, what would happen if destiny is released upon you? What would happen instead of looking at it negative if you could hear destiny whispering behind your back? If you could understand that everything that has happened in your life is going to turn around what the devil has meant for evil, let God turn around for good. Raise your hands. Father, by the authority of the word of God, by the blood of the Lamb and the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of failure. I rebuke the spirit of failure. I come against spiritual insecurity and inferiority. I come against spiritual insecurity and inferiority. I come right now against heaviness. Now in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, get loose in the Holy Ghost. Get loose. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Praise him, 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 praise him. It ain't over yet. 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 Did you feel that? Hallelujah. Do you feel that deliverance and peace of God that is coming down? Now I'm going to ask every person in this building, even if you're a guest, to step out of your chairs and come into this altar, because I'm about to loose the purpose of God upon people. No matter if your entire life has been a mess up to now, God can give you an answer tonight and turn it around for your good. Here they come. Dear God, have mercy. Look at this. Saints of God, be sensitive. Men of God, be sensitive. Prayer warriors, be sensitive. Something good is about to happen up in here. Our musicians are getting ready to sing. They're getting ready to lead us. But I want you to look at me. It ain't over yet. I don't care what you come in here with tonight. From this point on, everything can change. From this point on, Naomi went from being broken and bitter to becoming the mother-in-law of a multimillionaire because she joined herself with destiny, and destiny followed her home. She went back home, got her motive right, got her spirit right. God helped her. Now, if you're here tonight, no matter where you've been, God's not... But I'm Jacob. I'm Gideon. No, you don't know who you are. God looks at you through the eyes of mercy. God looks at you with the eyes of grace. He looks at you with the eye. Now, there's people getting ready in this room to be delivered. There's deliverance in this room. There is deliverance from the past. There's deliverance from abuse. I keep bumping into that spirit. There are people in this room that have been abused. And even though you're saved, you're not delivered from that abuse. That memory still haunts you. The Spirit of the Lord wants to set you free and deliver you and cover you by the blood of the Lamb to where that fear and hurt leaves in the name of Jesus. Raise your hands. Here comes deliverance. Get ready, music. Get ready. Now in the name of Jesus, I loose divine purpose. That if we would touch anything in your name, it would be done. I am touching these people in the name of Jesus. And I speak. There's people pray. Brother, pray for somebody. Don't stop. There's people whose lives are changing tonight because it ain't over. There's people in this room. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over. Would you begin to pray for people in this altar? It's the purpose of God. Begin to speak the purpose of God. I release the destiny and the purpose of God. I release the purpose of God. I release the purpose of God. Something to shout about. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, don't stop. Grace is moving in here. Grace is moving in here. Destiny is moving in here. Destiny. Take your neighbor by the hand. Raise those hands. Everybody raise a hand. Sing it again. Sing it. Praise.